Therapy Insiders is brought to you by Verve, makers of the Arc, a revolutionary neck pain relief and postural support device, available now at www.goarcnow.com, and by Edge Mobility System. Give your mobility the edge. Available at www.edgemobilitysystem.com.
Hello and welcome back to Therapy Insiders. I'm Dr. Gene Schirakerbrod here with Dr. Joe Palmer and Dr. Erson Religioso. How's everyone doing?
Good, Gene.
I'm doing well, Gene.
Happy New Year. We are back in the 2015 with a slew of new episodes coming your way. Good stuff. I say that subjectively, but I believe it will be useful, insightful. We're going to cover a variety of topics, dealing with clinical aspects, and more towards the business, which is what we're going to talk about today. And one of the biggest things in terms of conversational pieces in the world of physical therapy right now is the topic of branding. How do you really market yourself, your business, your profession to the mass population? So we're going to kind of cover our thoughts on it, what we do, and we'll start with Dr. E, since he's been branding the bejesus out of everything. Like I said, we've covered in previous podcasts that I see his face pop up on my Facebook page every second of every day. So Dr. E, tell us about your branding campaign, your philosophy of branding, and what you foresee the branding of a profession being.
Well, I think before we even talk about branding, I would say that our profession has a problem with a lack of branding and kind of a lack of identity. I mean, I think most good physical therapists know what we can do and we know what's in our scope, but ever since we've had to crawl out from under the shadow of the MD and the DO, or the primary care, it's been tough for us. I mean, you look at the studies that just ask the general public, who would you go to for back pain? People say a chiropractor. Who would you go to for a muscle injury? And people say, massage therapist. And who would you go to if you're an athlete and you injured yourself? And it's athletic trainer. And no one ever answers physical therapist. And it's the same A, B, C, D. It's like, A is chiropractor, B is massage therapist, C is athletic trainer, and D is PT. And no one ever answers PT. Because I guess I don't really ask, who would you go to after you have a total knee replacement? You need to walk, you need to get your knee to 90. You need to go up and down four steps, and you need to go down the parallel bars twice. That's not one of the questions. So I just think we have a distinct lack of identity in branding.
So with our profession, you hear a lot of times that we are so diverse in our specialties, and which makes it tough for us to be united, right? So we have the orthopedics, we have the neuro, we have the acute care, nursing, or skilled nursing. I think personally that's more of an excuse, because MDs have the similar breakdown of specialties, right? It's just we become so entrenched in our own little holes of specialization and profession that we don't have a bigger look at what our overall profession is trying to strive for. So it's a part of it's kind of what you're saying, the population's poor understanding of what we are capable of doing. But I also think the big piece of it is a united front from our profession itself.
Yeah. I pulled up the vision statement for the PT profession from the APTA. And at first I thought, what the heck? That is just so vague. I liked the vision to 2020 about, autonomous DPTs. But did you guys hear I think it was maybe a year or two ago when they changed it? This is House of Delegates 2013. It's transforming society by optimizing movement to improve the human experience.
Right.
What do you think? What do you think of that?
So I was, I've been part of the APTA, the Maryland one, for a couple of years now, a few years now. And so I've been, when I signed up to be on the board for the APTA, my biggest thing was to change how the APTA perceives and views and performs certain actions, right? To kind of connect it with social media, connected with a newer way of thinking. And to some extent, there's been some movement in that. And I think there's obviously a lot more to do. I think Maryland, compared to some other states from what I've seen, is fairly progressive and aggressive in pushing PT forward with open access and dry needling and some other things. Maryland is on the forefront. On a national scale, though, I agree with you that that is a very open-ended, broad statement that plays into that what I was just talking about of how broad we are as a profession. So if we cater to that, we're just feeding into the generalization of what we do, which is a lot of everything, but not really specifying anything. So we're talking a lot without saying anything, essentially.
You're painting with a broad brush there, but you're not enticing anybody to want your services with that statement because they don't know what your service is.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it, and I see why they chose that, and it is very broad. I mean, I don't know if what the AMA's vision statement for the medical profession is, but I doubt it's as vague as that. And I mean, people understand something about, helping with disease or just in general caring for the human population. But, I mean, at least they have movement in there, and that's something that we all can agree on.
Right. That's our unifying component is motion and movement and function. To some extent, the national level of the APTA has to be broad, right? You can't be too specific because then you alienate certain parts of your profession. I think the majority of the message falls more on the local chapters and then branching out on the actual PTs within those local chapters, right? Because if you are an agent of the profession, if you market, if you educate the masses of what you do, then people will know. I think, and you alluded to this, we as a profession are incredibly passive and are fairly happy with being good within ourselves and relying on doing what we have to do to earn a living. And there's not enough people, we don't have enough cheerleaders, essentially, saying how good we are, patting ourselves on the back. And that's one thing chiropractors are incredibly good at, is getting out there and really branding of what they do, which is putting themselves with, you have back pain, you come see us, we'll fix it. Whereas with us, somebody says back pain, we kind of work around through so many levels of educating them and working through the pain that we make it more we make marketing more complicated than it has to be because we want to educate so much and say so much, but you have to get them in first before you educate them and explain things.
I agree with that. Let me just go back to with vision statements in general. I don't really find them to be all that useful in general to begin with. I know it's something that that every organization and every company has a vision and a mission, but in large part, I feel like they're very broad general statements because they allow for change and they are trying to encompass everything that the organization wants or may see in the future, and I just feel like from a marketing standpoint, they're not even really that useful.
I agree with that. I think that this actually is probably a perfect vision statement in the fact that it's purposely vague and irritating to me.
Tell us how you feel.
I just sugarcoated that, but I guess all vision statements are kind of like that, and I never really understood. It's not like I go shopping at Target over Walmart because I like Target's vision statement. But going back to branding ourselves, in terms of branding my business, I think what you said, there's a lack of cheerleaders for our profession. I think there's also a lack of cheerleaders just in general, even for, let's just say, your own practice. I mean, the best business is everyone is a cheerleader, and not like pushing it in the patient's faces, but everyone from your office staff to your office manager to your assistants or your techs, if you have those, to every clinician should just be on board that we are an amazing practice. And we are better than everyone else without having to tell we're better, because the service is better. It was one of the things that I implemented back when I used to work in a practice with several PTs. And I'd also tell my students, like, the unwritten rule is you say hi to a patient and ask them how they are, even if they're not your patient. And when I've said that at courses before, people are like, oh, that's a really good idea. But I just think it's like, well, I mean, shouldn't you just say hi to someone? And patients are really happy about that too. It's like, oh, hey, how's your shoulder? It's like, oh, wow, that guy really cares. He's not even my PT. I think that it's just, businesses should just be unified with that. And it's just hard to find a staff that's all on board like that, though.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. My perspective is, when I'm seeing patients, my communication is, you have your introduction. You can introduce yourself with doctor or not. It's up to you. But when I talk to my patients, it's like talking with a friend, keeping it professional, but still, I want them to be relaxed. I want them to be comfortable, and we have a conversation the whole time. So in my mind, I want it to be almost like an experience. I want them to, even if they might not enjoy some of the stuff they're doing, some of the exercises, I want them to enjoy my company. When they know they're coming to PT, they know they'll have at least a good conversation about something, whether they like sports, and I can tailor the conversation to sports. If they like art, we can talk about art. That's the psychology of the marketing is, there was an article about being charismatic, and one of the top ways to be charismatic is to mimic the person's actions and conversations and ask about them. Right. So if you ask them how they're doing, what they're doing, and then proceed to converse in topics that they enjoy, you create a relationship with this person, and then having them do everything on, for the therapeutic side while you're conversing, and it makes the treatments a lot more successful and go by faster, I find.
Right. It's all about them.
Unless they ask about you, and then you talk about you. So you right, you still, yes, put it in there, right? Because if they're just talking about themselves the whole time, it becomes a pretty boring conversation. So you interjected. You have a that's the point of a conversation, is you go back and forth and you talk about things, and versus just A, B, C, doing business, nothing, let's do this, let's do that. And me personally, I don't like handing patients off. We don't do techs and things like that. I like to see, and I like to talk with my patients and see how they're doing. And you can see the ups and downs of their days over the weeks, and you really get to gauge how that person is doing. And you can see, the progression that they have, and you get a lot of word of mouth like that.
That's also, it develops the relationship. If all the relationship that you had with that person was that they got better, and there's nothing else, then I don't really think that you become their physical therapist. You just become the physical therapist that got them better. But that should be what they expect. If they're coming to you, they're expecting to get better. It's what extra can you add to make their experience that much more, so that you become their physical therapist. And you're not only their physical therapist, you're their family's physical therapist. And so then that person becomes your walking billboard. And I think that that's the important transition there is in what you're doing, just in developing that rapport and that conversation, is the first step to making that happen. I mean, you have to do everything clinically. You know, they're not going to be your billboard if you don't get them better necessarily. But what I'm saying is that relationship is the most important factor to creating a brand and somebody to market for you.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite things as a clinician is when I'm treating somebody to say, oh, I need to bring my kids here, or they ask for my advice. Say, hey, my daughter was just playing field hockey and she did this and she's feeling that. What do you think? Or can I bring her here? And that's when you know you really have the trust. And I think I mentioned in a podcast before that, you know, I have some patients that are physicians that have a POPS type of situation, and they bring me their kids instead of to their own, you know, to their own facility. So that's the kind of stuff that you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, that's a big win. I remember I treated a nurse who worked at a POPS, and she would just like whisper to the patients that they had to come see me because they knew. And my business partner, I know one of his biggest referral sources ended up being a doctor who he treated who worked for a POPS, and this doctor just insisted that, you know, all his patients just see my business partner instead. So, yeah, getting them on a cheerleader, getting you to be a cheerleader or getting a patient to be a cheerleader is a big thing. And I think just that good service and doing that little bit of extra is what, you know, makes a memorable experience. But, you know, going back to my point, I think that PTs are kind of afraid also to toot their own horn. I mean, one of the biggest things they learn in chiropractic school is marketing and making the patient reliant on you. And I don't think we want to make the patient reliant on us, but, you know, a lot of the cash-based guys, whether it's Jared Carter or Aaron LaBauer, two guys, you should check out their podcasts.
Trying to get Jared on the podcast for a while. Just our schedules won't sync up. But one of these days, Jared, if you're listening, I will find you and I will schedule you.
Right. Yes. But, you know, they said that you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know, I am the area's best physical therapist and I am worth $150 an hour or whatever it is. And how many PTs can say that, you know? I think you have to sell yourself and you have to believe in that yourself as a service and be better. Like, you have to be your own cheerleader before a patient is going to be your cheerleader.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a hard thing because you walk a fine line between being too much of a salesperson, right? Because that's what I hear a lot of people say, is that they have that ethical dilemma of, I want to be a clinician and treat people versus I feel like I'm selling too much. And, you know, I always say that the saying is, it doesn't matter how good you are if you can't keep the doors open to your clinic. So if you're confident and if you truly believe that you are that good and you will help the people, that's not selling anything. That's just saying the truth. So you have to get it out there. So the question that I'll propose to you guys, both of you are clinic owners, and Urson, you do a lot on social media, obviously, and Joe, yourself as well, growing a business. You know, we're all superstar clinicians, right? I don't have to say
no,
it.
Of course not.
But
we're our own cheerleaders.
It is what it is. You know, you guys have been listening to our podcast long enough, or if this is your first one, welcome. But we are incredible PTs, at least two to three of us. I'm not going to say which two. And but aside from that, we do a lot to get our message out to people, which is branding, right? We are our brands. So I want to talk about perspective. So we've been theorizing about how to market better and our profession in general, but let's give some examples of how to actually get out there and market and some of the strategies that we use. So Dr. E, I'll start with you because, like I said, you've had your blog and you do some other stuff on social media. What are some of your top tips for getting yourself out there in terms of branding and marketing?
Well, you know, I'm big on search engine optimization, and I think not a lot of people take advantage of that in terms of keywords, you know. So I see a lot of TMJ patients or runners. So basically, you know, the keywords on my websites for Google searches or what have you, because most people use Google, not Bing or whatever. I'll have, you know, TMD, TMJ, running injuries, low back pain, just, you know, or Buffalo's best physical therapist or things like that. I mean, I think that, you know, people worry about search engine optimization or they pay someone, they pay a so-called SEO expert to do their own search engine optimization. But the other thing that's really going to, I mean, you could have the best keywords in the world, but, you know, you have to have traffic too. And the more traffic you have, the more, you know, the higher you pop up on Google's first page. And basically, if you're not on Google's first page, I mean, how many times have you ever clicked on a link that's on the second or the third page? I mean, you have to have the content that drives people to your site regularly. That's why I'm so big into blogging and social media, because, you know, there's just, the more you're out there, if you have a blog and a Twitter and a Facebook page, and you just provide regular content, not necessarily daily content, but regular content, you'll just increase the traffic, and you've increased the traffic, you'll increase your web rankings.
So SEO optimization, for those of you that don't own a website or have nothing to do with technology, is if you're running a website or a blog or something like that, you put in very specific words that relate to what you're trying to talk about. So Google ranks certain words higher than others, and it's based by what people search in the engines. So if somebody puts in neck pain, if you have neck pain throughout your website, and if you write about neck pain, Google will rank you higher as opposed to others based on how many times people search it and then click on it and keep coming back to it. So when Dr. E's talking about generating content, that's what he means. You put in your website, you know, manual therapist or neck pain relief, and then you write a blog post about it, or you make a video about it and you put it on YouTube, then you link YouTube back to your website with neck pain. So then when somebody searches that neck pain or neck pain and physical therapy, you'll come up higher because you have it more often in your website. So that's kind of the gist of how SEO works. It's, trust me, it's a lot more complicated than that and a lot harder to do. But it's if you haven't started looking at that, definitely look at it. And even if you don't own a practice or a website, there's LinkedIn, you can make a Facebook page. If you're not on LinkedIn yet, or if you don't have some kind of social media presence, you're already behind the eight ball. You need to get on it, at least open an account. Because then if somebody's going to go to your clinic and they Google your name, if nothing comes up, that's not a good thing. You at least want to see something come up, because it's instant justification for kind of for going to see you, that they know what's going on. And then if you have a couple videos on YouTube with your name on there, it's even better, because people see that you're an expert in what you're talking about and you have an advantage of them going in. Joe, what about you? Running a manual therapy clinic, what kind of stuff do you do for marketing?
Yeah, so this is, I'm going to go, Urson went high tech, so I'm going to go low tech. All right. I think that it is very important to do the search engine optimization, and we do try to do that as well. But one thing that we started doing last year, that I think has really helped us is we give each therapist pretty much a script that they have to do with any patient that graduates therapy with us. So it basically forces them to ask for the referral. And it is something that we found that our therapists really struggled with, was they provided great care, they provided great service, their patient absolutely loved them, but the patient would bring gifts of brownies and cookies, and, you know, they would be in the shopping center and they would stop back in and they would say hi, but were they referring somebody that they knew needed therapy to us, right? Were they helping us where they really could help us? You know, they were coming back and we love seeing them, but you know, we'd also like to see their friends. And so we made it a point to have referral cards where they could write their name and who they referred, so that if the patient brought back that card, then we could send a thank you to the previous patient and just say, hey, thanks for referring your friend. We really appreciate it. But we wanted to institute this system where every physical therapist at the end of care said, we really appreciate you choosing us for physical therapy. We know that there were a lot of choices. We're glad you had such a good result and that you're feeling much better. We get about 50% of our patients from returning patients or patients that refer a friend to our clinic. And as a small physical therapy private-owned practice, we really appreciate those referrals. If you know anybody that has that needs physical therapy, please use this card to refer them to us. We really appreciate it. And I'm telling you, the patient doesn't think of that as a sale. We're not selling anything that they don't already like. We've done our customer service on the front end, and we're just asking that they help us if they know anybody that needs therapy. And it's been a successful program for us.
Well, that's a win-win for everyone, right? They help a friend, you get a patient, and everyone wins.
Yeah,
right. But it's asking for it because I'm telling you, PTs they don't like to ask for it. They just okay. Well, I'm glad you're better. And this is what we were doing before. I'm glad you're better. You know, come stop by and see us if you're in the area. You know, have a good life. I mean, not in those words, but
right.
That was what was happening before.
And that's what comes down to what Urson was talking about earlier is the how passive we are and just happy with the daily kind of mindset of we're going to come in, we're going to fix our patients, we'll get better. But you got to evolve and you got to change with how our profession is growing and how insurance rates are dropping and how hard it is in the competition out there with other professions that are much better than us at marketing, not necessarily getting patients better. So you have to ask and you have to put yourself out there as a walking, talking billboard through actions and through conversation, like you said, Joe.
Right. Back when I had a higher volume caseload, I would also just market to my patients and you know, within patients. For those who didn't know that they didn't need a script, or you know, they could just come in and their insurance company would actually reimburse them before I went cash based, I would just say that, you know, I would try to take the patients who would normally see a chiro, you know, like don't wait for this to be low back pain or neck pain or a headache that's 4 to 3, you know, 3 to 4 months or even longer. As soon as something pops up, whether you're injured or not, first double down on your exercises, do the assessment I taught you, and if it doesn't start to get better in a couple of days, I will make time for you. I will squeeze you in because it's easy, you know, according to the research, it's easier to treat it within the first 2 to 3 weeks than 4 to 6 months down the road or even longer. And it doesn't even have to be something new. It could be, you know, it could be your knee and you came in for your neck. And, you know, I had a lot of, like Joe said, I had a lot of return patients. We noticed after we analyzed, after being in business for the first year, 75% were self-referred, and that was either return patients or just word of mouth. So, yeah, you know, I marketed really heavily to patients just to tell friends and also to come back themselves anytime anything new cropped up. Like part of being a TMJ guy is sometimes I got like, oh, I went to a PT clinic for my knee and they didn't do as good of a job. I'm like, well, why don't you see me? They're like, oh, I didn't know you did knees. And I would have to actually tell people like I'll treat you for anything that's connected to your body, I would say.
Anything?
Anything.
Hmm. Hashtag Pelk Mafia.
Yeah. One last piece too. I want to throw in that I thought was marketing genius. I was mentoring a guy in North Carolina, and this is Inception. Have you guys ever seen the movie Inception?
Yep.
Yeah. Right. So you can't give anyone ideas supposedly, but what he would do, he had this whole wall of letters that his patients were writing to thank him, and also to thank their doctors. And what he asked the patients to do would be, so say like a, you know, you saw a patient gene from Dr. So-and-so, and the patient would write the letter to Dr. So-and-so, like, Dr. So-and-so, thank you for sending me to physical therapy. Because of you, my knee is better, and, you know, thanks to you, and basically stroking the doctor's ego. And you know, it wasn't due to the physical therapy at all. It was the doctor's idea. And I thought that was genius. And
that's really good.
You
know,
you got to be humble and you got to suck up your ego and everything, but it works really, really well, because, you know, everyone wants to be, you know, wants to take responsibility for someone getting better, especially, you know, the referral source. And I think that the referral source doesn't often get thanked.
Right. I kind of do a similar thing, except when patients have follow-ups, you know, whether it's if I get a referral from a physician and, you know, send them or call them, giving them an update or how they're doing. If a patient tells me that they're going in for a checkup, you know, I tell them, either give them a kind of a checklist of things that we've done, or just talk about what to say to the physician. Because a lot of times they'll go in, they'll see him for 2 minutes and see how you're doing. They say, I'm doing better. And that's it. That's the end of their follow-up. We do a back and forth of, this is what you should ask them, these are the questions, and almost do a dress rehearsal and make an emphasis of, tell them how well PT is going, if it's going well. And that makes a big difference when the physician, if it's the same physician, they hear it a couple times, especially if a patient hasn't gotten better yet and they just sent you to test out, just to try something else before surgery. If they hear that a few times, it makes a big difference. You get a steady referral stream for that. And so a couple of tips is, one high key or high tech and one low tech, since both of you went in each direction. My low tech one, if you have a lot of physician referrals and if you go out and actually meet with the physicians, I know a lot of people like to have lunch with them and provide lunch. I say try, when you call to schedule it, don't schedule a lunch, but ask if anyone in the office has any kind of musculoskeletal issues. Does the receptionist have low back from sitting for a while? Does the doctor have a knee issue from playing tennis? And say, let me come by and do kind of a show and tell. Let me show you what we can actually do and fix one of them there. So you'll see their eyes kind of light up when you work on them for 15, 20 minutes while you're talking about it as they're doing. You're essentially putting on a show of how you work. And that kind of goes back to that communication, that relationship you build with the patient. Same thing. You know, talk, regardless whether they're a physician, a secretary, doesn't matter. A person is a person. So it's the same patient. You talk to them, you kind of do a little whatever you do, either show them an exercise, do some hands-on time. After 15, 20 minutes, they'll feel better, and you'll get a referral source, especially if it's the office manager. So that's my low-tech advice. High-tech, you need to get on social media, right? And it's the number one thing I hear from people when we talk about social media is they don't know how to start, and they don't feel comfortable with it. And my answer to that is it's incredibly easy to start because you just log in and make an account. And what I recommend is, think of it this way. If you are treating a patient and you educate them, right? We educate patients every day. And whether somebody comes in with low back pain thinking they have sciatica when their pain's in the anterior thigh, and you break it down of, that's not sciatica because that's not where the sciatic nerve is. So take that piece, what you just said to the patient, either save it in your head or write it down, and then just have somebody record you talking that same exact statement, whether on an iPhone or invest a couple $100 into a GoPro, and just exactly how you're educating the patient, have somebody record you, upload it on YouTube, and you're there, right? You already have something. And it's the same thing. Just imagine you're educating a patient. Just get it in. Usually you want to keep it to like a minute and a half. And then you'll see it snowball, that you'll be able to record more quality content, you'll make some exercise videos and whatever you want to do. And again, this doesn't just apply to orthopedics. Even if you work in acute care, if you work in for hospitals, you know, be an advocate for yourself and an advocate for your profession just by putting stuff out there from yourself and things that you tell patients all the time. Make a YouTube account, make a Twitter account, a Facebook page, whatever you want. Just make something and just record 30-second to 90-second videos just like you would educate a patient. And you'll see things really pick up for you. All right, so those are a few tips from us on marketing and branding. Do you guys have any closing thoughts?
I would say, yeah, YouTube is probably, if I had to recommend certain services for you to go on social media, like obviously if you're social media adverse or you don't really know where to start, Twitter is probably the one I would do last. Everyone's kind of on Facebook and they know how to use Facebook, but maybe they're not on there professionally. And actually, that's much bigger than LinkedIn. To me, LinkedIn and PT is just more of like a spam fest. But remember that YouTube is second to Google, is actually the second biggest search engine. I mean, people are looking for videos and, you know, not only how to fix a leaky sink, but what can I do for back pain or anything. And again, if your videos are on there, you make a good, quick video. There's a PT named Dr. Joe on there. Maybe we can get her on a podcast sometime. I mean, she's on 3 million views now. And, you know, it's much, much higher than me because she has a bigger audience. Her audience is everyone versus my audience is clinicians. And she's just doing a great job with stretches to do for your neck, what to do if you have a vestibular disorder, stretches to do for your knee. And she has millions of views now. So, you know, I would go to YouTube first and then link that back to your site. And you could even have something like an exercise of the week just to keep your patients engaged because so your patient doesn't forget you. I mean, how many times have you ever seen a patient? They're like, yeah, you know, the last place was actually pretty good. I just don't remember where I went to or who my PT was. Just keep them engaged with regular content.
All right, and the piece about YouTube that's also very important is that Google owns YouTube. So if you put stuff on YouTube, make sure you, kind of going back to the SEO, in the description of your video, you put in keywords of what you're saying and talking about and trying to have people that are searching for find. So don't just upload the video and click submit. Write your name, write your clinic, write whatever the content is that are important keywords that you want to find. Because when people search on Google, YouTube will pop up first because it's part of Google and they kind of feed their own hand a little bit with that. So that's an important part of SEO. So I agree 100%. YouTube is very important to start out with. So give it a try, and even home exercises you can put on there and have your patients. Yeah, just Google my name on YouTube and tell them what to Google, and they'll find those exercises. It's a great reminder, and then they can share it on their Facebook pages, and only good things will happen. What about you, Joe?
I think this has been pretty informative podcast. I think that it's important for people to try to take some of these steps to move forward and market yourself as a leader in the field and really help to educate people on the benefits of physical therapy. I feel that that when we take ownership of that, that's when we'll see change.
Well said. So remember, don't be afraid to be a cheerleader for yourself, for your profession. Let people know exactly how good you are and what you're capable of doing. We're available if you have any questions. Dr. E obviously has a lot of avenues and a lot of experience in social media and branding, and I've been pretty much living that with my product, the ARC, and developing from scratch. So, you know, I've been living social media and SEO and all that fun stuff. So don't hesitate. Let us know if you have any questions. Contact us at therapyinsiders@gmail.com. Visit Dr. E at themanualtherapist.com. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact us. Again, thanks for the emails. And leave us a comment on iTunes, The Therapy Insider Show. And please leave us a review. Those are great and help us stay at the top of the search engines that we've been talking about. So we will be back in a week or so with some more content, and keep those comments rolling in. Thanks for listening.
All right. See you later.
Good night.